The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
On our guest line, like always, Lieutenant Governor Pamela Abbott. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Joey. I'm doing well. I hope you are.
I am doing wonderful. Thank you. We missed you last week. Glad to have you back this week.
We are, you know, it taking just a little time away. Doesn't it seem like it takes you for the couple days you take, it takes you like three times that to get caught up on all the things you need to do.
It makes you wonder if it was worth taking the few days off, doesn't it?
It definitely does. It does.
Yeah. Let's talk for a minute. School choice has been a top priority this year. The South Carolina House moved to allow the repeal of a constitutional prohibition on funding private schools with public dollars. This was sort of a twist that I didn't realize we were going to be faced with when it comes to school choice. But we're actually going to have to amend our state constitution in order to get this through. Let's talk a little about school choice and why it's important.
So, you know, we saw it during COVID. Parents were starting to see what was being taught in class. Parents started to now retake the helm of their child's education, which was long overdue. And so we want to now give them the ability to be able to choose wherever they want to go. And that has been a roadblock, is that constitutional line that basically says money can't go towards parochial schools, things like that, must stay in the system. And it was basically for private parochial schools. And by doing that, we allow parents the freedom to use the money the way they wanted to. When COVID happened and the governor was putting those $5,000 scholarships, because our charter schools, our private schools, our parochial schools were open, it got blocked in the Supreme Court because of that constitutional amendment, basically saying they couldn't, and basically saying, and so the governor's initiative to try to help parents get their kids back in school was blocked. And so this will take that away. It will allow for more robust school choice, because really it should be the parents' decision. You know, David and I are blessed that we can afford to send our kids to parochial school. We wanted them to have a faith-based education. I just believe that every parent should have that option, right? Yeah. And so that's what this does. And it will make our state better. Every state, Joey, who has fought for true school choice, for vouchers, either way, you know, sometimes it's talked about two different ways. They have seen leaps and bounds in how their children perform. And that's what we need to really make a difference here in South Carolina.
Yeah. And, you know, I can't imagine, Peg and I, of course, we don't have kids, so we haven't had to make that decision. Our nephews have all gone to Southside Christian School, and what a great school that is, and great education they receive. But, you know, it costs a lot of money. And at the same time, when you're writing that check for that tuition, you're also still paying property taxes and helping to educate other kids in the public schools. That has to be kind of tough.
I mean, it really is. And, you know, I hear the argument all the time that, oh, my gosh, this will make our public schools worse if everybody starts pulling their children out. Well, really, no, it doesn't. Because you can look, again, this is not groundbreaking in theory. You can look around the country, and everybody who has done this has always benefited from it, because it makes everybody tighten up their belt. What people don't really realize, and I didn't realize till I became lieutenant governor, is we are 15th in the nation of what we put into our children's learning per child, and we're 49th on outcome. Money is not the problem, yeah. Right? It's yeah. The fact that that money is not going to the classroom. That's why last year, the governor and I pushed to have a new funding formula done to where every state dollar had to go into the classroom, had to go to the teacher, had to benefit education. Because what happens is you have so much middle management bureaucracy, so many support people that don't affect the actual education, that it eats up all the money.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're making strides, very proud of the General Assembly. They're doing a lot of great things. You know, Merle Smith taking the helm at speaker has really showed himself to be a great leader. We have our own Bruce Bannister, head of Ways and Means, making sure this big week, this is budget week.
Yeah.
Making sure that our money is well spent.
Yeah, they have certainly accomplished a lot. Of course, constitutional carry is one of the issues too that they have been tackling in Columbia. So it's been so far, you know, and we're just about 2 months in. It's been a very busy legislative session.
It really has, and I'm very excited. I saw Chris Rutan was at the Well talking about, you know, the governor and I requested to stop. You know, if you are out on bond, on bail, and you commit another crime, that you go back to prison, your bond is revoked, you do not get to come out again. And if found guilty of the crime you were put in for, it will potentially add 5 years to your sentence. And, you know, that was argued. We were very hopeful that will get done, because we have to stop repeat offenders from getting out.
Yep. Yep.
And that is the only way to keep our children and our elderly and all of us safe, our businesses. The last thing you want are these repeat offenders. And that's what we find. It's the same people. I mean, if you talk, you know, we have such great sheriffs. I saw Hobart yesterday. And when you talk and you talk to them, they're seeing the same people. It's not like a lot of new ones are coming out. And so we're asking them to put their lives in jeopardy to catch them the first time, and then they get bailed out. Now we're asking them to put their lives in jeopardy to catch them again. And that's not what we believe here in South Carolina. We want to do all we can to keep our law enforcement safe. We know that they make the difference in all of our communities.
Interesting that you say that, because I read a study that the Daily Caller published a couple of days ago. And it's worth reading. You should look it up. I haven't had time really to dig into it on the show here, but the John D. and Catherine MacArthur Foundation funds a program they call Safety and Justice Challenge. Literally, over the past couple of years, they have put in $100 million in grants, and their goal is to reduce jail populations by 50% by 2025. What we are finding, though, and one of the counties that they did this is Charleston County, here in South Carolina. But what they're finding is that every single one of these cities where they have pumped millions of dollars, I think Charleston, they put $6 million in, every one of these, their crime rate has gone through the roof because of what you're saying. We're getting people, they're using the money, they're getting people out of jail, and those people are repeat offenders. You get them out of jail, they break the law again. And crime rates have just increased dramatically in the areas where the MacArthur Foundation has pumped money in to get people out of jail.
You know what I'm really proud of is our state prison system. Brian Sterling heads that, and he has done great work. Our recidivism rates out of our state jails are the lowest in the country. And it's because we have put a very focused effort on, while we have those people in jail, let's train them up to do something so that when they get out, they don't have to go back to their old ways. That we really take some time with them, because, you know, when I first became lieutenant governor, like everybody else, it's like, well, they're in jail, lock them up, throw away the key. And when they come out, hopefully they'll learn their lesson. But that's not really true. You know, Brian has a great outlook on this. Like, we can put them there and keep them there, feed them, clothe them, house them for 5 years, 6 years, 8 years. But when they come out and they're no better than they went in, they have no idea what else to do. But if you can teach them a trade, educate them, show them that there's a better way, then when they get out, then they can become productive members of society. And that has shown through time to be really true here in South Carolina because of our recidivism rates. But you have to do it the right way. Yeah. It's not just letting them out. It's trying to do something with them while you have them in there.
Exactly. Exactly. Lieutenant Governor Pamela Ebbett, always a pleasure. You mentioned Hobart Lewis. Tuesday, I had the opportunity to go over to Sheriff Chuck Wright's prayer breakfast. Have you ever been to one of his prayer breakfasts?
I have not been, and I did see that on his social media. You know, Sheriff Wright he's such a passionate man,
yeah,
standing for Christ all the time. I mean, he's inspirational. I'm going to have to get on him. I didn't get an invite. I'm going to have to make sure I get on his invite list for next year.
Next year, you have to go to the prayer breakfast, because I'm telling you, it was a powerful. He delivered a powerful message, but secondly, just to see the sheriff sitting there and all these pastors gathered around him praying for him, it was amazing. There were about 900 people there.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, it was just amazing. So we got to make sure that you go next year for sure.
I'm going to send him a text today and say, hey, don't forget your favorite Lieutenant Governor.
Yes.
The next time you have your prayer breakfast.
Yeah, there you go. Lieutenant Governor Pamela Ebbett, always a pleasure. Be safe out there. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, Joe. I hope everybody has a great weekend. Stay safe.
Sure thing.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.